It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number 3, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. It has been a
fantastic
show so far.
Been a lot of fun.
We've yelled about Blazer offseason moves that have not happened yet. I don't know if you guys know this. We still don't have a head coach. That'd be kind of cool to have a head coach right now.
I'm out here jealous of the Atlanta Hawks. What's wrong with
Sprague? Sprague is jealous of the Hawks. God. We still don't get nice things.
No.
Dallas was one of the only other teams who didn't have a head coach, and then they just threw like $800 million at Dusty May to be their next head coach. And so we're it. We're the last ones in the game of musical chairs just standing around like, anybody want to dance with us? And after finding out for weeks we had 2 finalists, then last week we found out we had 3 finalists again. After one of our finalists took another job.
I'm looking forward to the thrilling breakdown and recap of us hiring Tyler Lashbrook because he cost us $802,000 a year. And mocking Tom Dundon for it, and then not getting any of the big deep think pieces because we, you know, we brought in DeMontis Sabonis as our big swinging move.
That's our offseason.
I can't wait for there to be zero reaction to Joe Cronin, but huge reaction to the coach hire. That is definitely in line and in play right now.
You know, it's funny how, like, if you've lived in Oregon long enough or if you're from here like we are, we always joke come springtime, the, you know, end of winter, spring, there's like how many different seasons do you get, right? There's like the first spring.
The fake spring,
fake,
right?
Spring, yeah. Where you get like a weekend where it's 70 degrees. This is awesome. And then for the next 2 weeks, it's 49 and raining again. You get your patio furniture out. Here we go. And then it all goes to S. Or you plant your garden too soon and then you get a hailstorm in April that kills the entire thing.
Yep.
I feel like the Blazers offseason is kind of like that for everybody, where you go in these phases of like hope, despair, optimism, pessimism, and it's just every week or every day my mood and tune can change. Hopefully we end up being pleasantly surprised. We'll keep our eye on any more breaking news if it comes out this morning, and it should make for an interesting day out at the Fan Golf Classic tomorrow because we'll be out at Langdon Farms.
God, something big's going to happen while we're out there, isn't
Seems
it?
About right. That's usually the way it works out, at least for me. Whenever I go on vacation, something big happens, so maybe I need to schedule tomorrow off and not show up at the Fan Golf Classic. Then a Giannis trade will go down and we'll get him. I'm just trying to
whatever you need to do.
Can we push the ball further down the field here? I'm trying to get something done for you, Joe Cronin.
By the way, the NBA draft is tomorrow, and there might be madness just in how the picks shake out, let alone what's dealt and what's moved.
And who's picking where, right, depending on if trades go down. I do want to get into that today, because, again, we are going to be out at Langdon tomorrow for the Fan Golf Classic, so we do not have a show tomorrow. So we got to get into that, because the draft is tomorrow night. Now, we don't have a first-round pick. Hurts. Would be nice to have one.
Wasn't that a good sigh?
I can't remember.
I think it was,
I think
like,
it was disgust. I thought it was disgust, wasn't
it? Oh, you're
it?
Right. It was disgust. Yeah.
Could also be good, depending on how you listen.
That's true. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. And I want Sprague's story on wishing an old baby daddy or baby mama a happy Father's Day or Mother's Day. We'll get to that social media trend.
Yeah.
But about 2 hours of the show has gone by, and we have not yet acknowledged the fact. Are you guys aware We are now a superpower in soccer.
I've heard this.
We are here.
Undefeated.
We are loud. We are proud.
Yes.
And we're not going anywhere.
Damn right.
USA played on Friday. Now, you and I were golfing in the middle of it, but we were checking.
We were keeping up.
Checking on the scores. And then I heard so many things about the atmosphere that it was one of those, like, let's go back and watch as much of this as we can.
Yes.
Because the atmosphere sounded terrific, and everybody was raving about how loud it was. And then you go back and watch, and you're like, oh, my God, that's like seismic activity level crowd noise. The game day like atmosphere that they had before the game, where the fans are out doing the, you know,
which is another good choice of just like kind of an Americanized thing that we like to do.
So the day goes great. We don't have our best player. We can get into that a little bit. And then we asked a question last week of all these other countries have chants and they have songs and they have, like, we don't really have a thing. We
Wonderwall
need a thing.
Is England's post-match thing. They sing Wonderwall.
And the whole crowd gets into it. And so we asked, what is our thing? Are we going to have a song? We came up with Party in the USA on Friday, and I don't think it was that bad of an idea, or Thursday it would have been. Not that bad of an idea. But then they won on Friday, and they told us, we've picked. I also love it, singing alongs like that when you can tell the pockets of the song that not everybody knows the words.
100%.
And then when you get to the chorus.
West Virginia! I don't even know what they say after West Virginia.
It drowns out all of the other music. You can't even hear the song anymore. It's singing so loud, but before that, you could still hear it. Do we like the call of Country Roads? West Virginia's getting a lot of love.
Well, I was going to say, I'm one of our worst Atlanta states. And West Virginia now today on a Monday. Like, who would have thought that was a thing? It's good. One of our P1s, Cody, was up at this and noted that, like, the Country Roads thing, and that may be it. I guess they also did Living on a Prayer, and they did it pretty well.
That's pretty good.
He said they did Living on a Prayer, and the stadium was like,
oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun one to sing along to.
I just kept thinking, like, that's probably the choice.
It's a 90-degree day. You're hammered off your ass. You just smoked the Australians 2-0 in a dominant win without your best player. I'd be belting it out, too.
I did love the panic meter of everybody when they announced Pulisic wasn't going to play, and they're like, I don't know, man. It's
I don't know.
Really? We can't beat Australia?
Can we put into college football terms, because that's how I have to view this tournament, what is Australia in college football terms? Brandon, are you a soccer guy?
A little bit. Definitely around this time. I feel like it's where I watch the most soccer.
Do you have a gauge on Australia as a college football comp? Who did we dominate on Friday?
It has to be somebody that, like, the best thing they've done is made the Holiday Bowl.
I mean, are we talking like...
Maryland.
Maryland?
I think this is Maryland.
Is it Maryland?
I feel like Maryland's pretty bad, though.
What's Australia?
Is that unfair to Australia or unfair to Maryland?
I think it's unfair to Australia.
So they're
I think
better
it's unfair
than Maryland?
To Maryland. What has Australia done? Has Australia won the World Cup?
When we beat Paraguay in our first game, people told me that was Minnesota. We dominated Minnesota 4-1, which you feel good about a dominant win over Minnesota. They're rowing the boat. Like, all right, I'll take it. That's not the worst program, but it's not the best. You should dominate, and you did.
Okay, so the Google AI is, you know, take it for what it's worth.
Yeah. Are you asking it to compare
the Australian men's team has qualified for the FIFA World Cup finals on 7 occasions?
The final?
They are ranked 25th in the world.
Okay, so it's
a top 25 team.
Who's a back end?
Maryland was kind of, weren't they?
I think that's, to his point, when was the last time Maryland was ranked in the top 25? I think
didn't they start like 7-0 and then they had they played nobody?
I think it's
with Tua's little brother?
I think it's been a hot minute. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm forgetting. Last year, your 25th ranked team was TCU, 9-4.
TCU was in a national championship.
They
lost 65-7.
How about Houston? They were 22nd. Does that count?
Yeah, Houston's a
good call. Okay, so we dominated Houston?
Because I feel like Houston's had a couple versions where they've been like, oh, look at Houston.
Ed
Oliver.
Hey. Ed Oliver. That's a good pull. Ed Oliver was a stud there. He was like a random 5-star that signed in a smaller conference.
Their best
what?
Results are round of 16 appearances in 06 and 2022 after a 32-year gap following their debois.
So maybe Houston is there, right? Like, Andre Ware won the Heisman there years ago, and they kind of disappeared, and then they've been more relevant as of late. So maybe Houston's a good comp.
Maybe Houston is a good comp.
Yeah, I mean, the thought was going into the game, we don't have our best player, so how does this look?
But who are we then? How are we to equate what we are?
I mean,
are
we've
in the
already
right
won
now.
The group. We're already. Have you seen our pathway, by the way?
It's kind of lining up nice.
Are we? Am I putting the cart in front of the horse here?
I mean, probably.
Or are USA soccer fans with me of looking at this? Like, again, I don't watch this stuff. I don't even know that much about it. I just saw the teams that were projected to play in every round and thought, how do we not? How do we not win?
But do you think...
And not to win the whole thing, but win those games that are projected.
Well, I guess that's what I would ask as a follow-up is how far do we think we can get now?
I mean, it'd be massive, dude. Like, this is...
No. Like, what's the expectation?
I think the expectation is at least to the round of 16.
Yeah.
Anything short of that would feel like a disappointment.
Round of 16, I would say, is our best case, worst case scenario. Anything better than that, I would think, is a success.
Yes.
So the floor is the round of 16?
Yes.
The ceiling is?
The final.
You think we can get to the final? Do you think we can?
Seeing that pathway, anything can happen. It's soccer. Soccer's weird.
Soccer is weird.
And I also
think... Did the men finally figure it out?
Well, I also think the other part of this that is not getting... So right now, our round of 32 opponent... Now, these aren't set. This is a possible pathway, right? We don't know for certain yet. We got to wait and see. Ecuador in the round of 32.
Yep.
Should win that.
New Zealand or Czechia in the round of 16.
Should win that. New Zealand didn't look impressive yesterday.
Right. And then in the quarters, playing either the Congo, Ghana, Uruguay, or Austria.
I couldn't tell you anything.
Neither could I.
I don't
probably
know.
Win that too. Uruguay, they can get hot. I mean, they weren't that impressive yesterday either. I mean, Cape Verde tying them. Is
yeah,
a,
I saw that
a
they tied.
Too.
Well, Belgium tied with Iran. I don't know how to gauge some of this stuff.
Yeah
it's true.
Really tough.
There's been some wonky results early. There's no doubt about it.
Like, how much us not having to really travel? Like
well,
we're
that's a big part of it. I mean, the other idea of this is, like, dude, that atmosphere on Friday was one of the best sporting atmospheres that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yep.
When they had the announcement of was the goal good or not, and you're waiting for the ref to come out and give the confirmation that it's a good goal, the crowd pop after he announced that was insane.
It's hard to beat a crowd pop at a World Cup.
And
you're
I just
talking about 80 to 100,000.
Yes. With the home team.
And it's the home team in that stadium, too, which is built for sound.
Which is also why I think the ceiling is the final, because you have that home support.
Wow.
Yes, and that's
the
whole thing.
Question.
Like, having your country behind you to this level, you never know. Like, one of my biggest frustrations, I think, in modern life with sports is the idea that we have to politicize everything.
Yeah.
When the USA basketball beat France, when was that? When was the last Summer Olympics? 4 years ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was, when we beat France and Wemby in Paris, and that was a great game, and Steph hits the game winner, you immediately get a chunk of the country that's like rooting for the team to lose. And I just think that's dumb loser behavior. Who cares about their politics? You're an American, root for the American team.
Yes.
And then in the hockey side of it, you get the director of the FBI pounding beers with the hockey team.
It goes the other way.
And a controversial call from the president making fun of the women's team who also won a gold medal. And then all of a sudden, half the country is pissed that the hockey team won. And now they shouldn't. It's just, I hate that we're doing that every time now. It becomes a political. Game of football where you're going back and forth. And I hope that this one's different. I don't know if it will be, but it does genuinely seem to be like a, oh my God, we're not only are we hosting, we dominated our first game scoring right away. And I think that woke everybody up of like, we gave the stats after their first game of, we've never done that before. Like having a guy with multiple goals in a game, winning a game by 3 goals. Like that does not happen for the USA in the history of their run in World Cups. And then we back it up without our best player. And sure, Australia is not the stiffest of competition, but that game was never really in doubt. They scored early. They led the entire game. You get a shutout. There's no Pulisic, so he's hopefully going to be back next Friday. There seems to be a real wave of momentum right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are to, they've already won their group. If you come out and look good in your next couple of matches and that momentum continues to build, it's just fun, man. We've joked a lot on the show over the years about the idea of soccer becoming the American sport. And that's been kind of a thing our entire life of wait until, and by the time we're 10 years from now, soccer will be the most popular sport. I just don't think that'll ever happen. We're a football country. We'll always be a football country, the American version of it. But it doesn't mean in these little moments and pockets that you can't have a super wide tent and bring everybody in, because the World Cup's a massive deal. The atmospheres have been great. And that was fun, man. They have fully got me on board of watching how far this thing's going to go and being psyched to see whenever the next game is, which is, I believe, next Friday, if I'm not wrong.
Poll question's up. Do you believe the ceiling for the U.S. men's World Cup team is the final? Yes, I believe that we will win.
I believe that we will win.
Or no.
Mm.
You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. I'm with you. I mean, I think everything you said right there is spot on. I've also, like, aside from having crowd pops and winning and figuring out our country's sing-alongs, I have found myself really enjoying. Like, I saw, I've seen people write about, you know, you talk about like everything political, kind of making counterculture arguments against like all these other people from other countries and reveling in the cool things about America or the funny things about America, like Taco Bell.
Yeah. Did you see, by the way, that they had to put out a statement from the TSA saying you can't put ranch in your carry-on because people kept trying to take ranch, Hidden Valley Ranch home. And they, so then Hidden Valley Ranch came up with a packet that you can take home,
like a
powder version that you mix together and make ranch dressing because people kept trying to put it on the plane.
That's what we buy.
That's what you guys do.
We buy the powder one, so you just mix it in.
Ah.
Super easy. Mix it in with a little Greek yogurt.
Hey.
But I've really enjoyed seeing the reaction. Like, did you see the fans get into Times Square for Norway?
Yes, I did. Doing
the Viking
thing.
Row?
Yes, it was awesome.
That's insane.
It was so cool.
It looked AI'd.
Yeah, it did.
That's how, like, unbelievable some of the stuff looks. I've also enjoyed some of the storylines, so it was a joke. But it made the headlines. Did you see what Iraq plays today?
Mm-hmm.
And they play Kylian Mbappe. They play France. They're surely going to lose.
Not likely to win.
Did you see what the coach said when he was asked, how do you stop Kylian Mbappe?
I didn't know. What was his quote?
He said, we're actually writing to the officials right now to see if we can legally get okayed for three goalkeepers.
Ooh, I like that strategy.
And I did think, it won't happen. He was joking.
Let him play with three. Could they win?
Could they push or win if they had three? They can't win. If you have three goalkeepers, you can't win. Can you have a 0-0 tie?
You could tie.
Would you bet on Iraq to tie France if they
just
had three goalkeepers?
Three guys planted in front of the net the entire game? Yeah, you would be able to
stop. Also,
you just have your one little box that you got to defend.
Dumb soccer question.
Yeah.
Why can't you be allowed, if you give up having a striker?
Well, you can sand guys back there. They just can't touch it and they can't catch it.
But I'm saying, like, if they okayed
it. Put your body in the way.
I mean, like, could you imagine the Stanley Cup allowing two goalies?
Two goals next to each other.
No, it was my side.
No, you move over. Move over, dude. It's like you and your wife in bed when she rolls over too far to your side. Get out of here. What are you doing?
You're up. I'm down. You're up. I'm down.
You're breathing on my pillow? Like, come on, man. Roll over.
It would be really badass. They're a +5 goal differential. They have 6 points. Like,
yes.
They've handled their business, and they look good. They do. They're looking every bit the part that everybody thought potentially they could be. Now, I still don't know how we gauge the group. Do we think this group is very good? I don't know. But they've handled their business, and in the past, they've choked on this stage.
Yes. I mean, that's exactly right. And somebody said, that's a good point from RRP once, Australia might not be a great team, but good teams crap on bad teams.
Yes.
Like, that's what you're supposed to do. And they didn't have their best player, and so you came out and dominated the game. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. I also think there's an element of this that is true. One listener saying, it's easier to come together and get behind a sport like soccer or hockey because we're not expected to dominate. Winning in basketball has gotten boring and expected, much like the Soviet Union winning in hockey during the 60s and 70s. And I certainly think there's an aspect of that. Like, how many sports... Well,
that's not the case in hoops anymore. We barely won.
It's come the full circle way, right, where the international game has gotten so good.
But I hope we medal in the next Olympics.
But I think the point of that is, like, us not winning a gold medal is one of the most shocking things that has happened to American basketball in my lifetime.
The 04 season...
And then we had a redeem team. It's like, wait, we're not the best at basketball anymore? Now, to your point, it's changed now and evolved. The game has.
Yeah.
But, like, I think to that listener's point, which is a good one... A rallying cry of an underdog will be the Kevin Durant in this segment. How many sports left exist that we are an underdog in? Almost every Olympic sport.
Honestly, it might only be men's soccer.
Yeah, because hockey's not. I can't say hockey an underdog anymore. Certainly not Canada, but we have been Olympic gold medal games and we've claimed close.
We were a favorite to be in the final.
Yes.
Canada was the overall favorite. We were the second favorite the entire time.
I don't we just hadn't won a gold medal in a long time, but that doesn't mean we're an underdog. We were an underdog against Canada.
I don't think we're going to be the betting favorite in 28 for the Summer Olympics, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be France.
For basketball?
Yeah, I think it's going to be France for men's basketball.
That one will take a while, I think, to build up the underdog mentality. Again, and for all we know, we might still go on to win the Olympics that year just because you're a slight underdog. Again, as they were in hockey, doesn't mean that you can't win it. Soccer, we're a true underdog. Like, nobody gave us a chance in hell to win this thing.
See,
and I still think it's a far-fetched idea that we're actually going to win the World Cup. We got a long ways to go until we get there.
Yeah.
But I do think the listener's point is valid of it's not a sport that we just dominate every 2 years or every 4 years and say, see you later, rest of the world. We've largely been the laughingstock, and so to come together and watch a team maybe break through and not be that.
Have we, okay, so somebody, one of our listeners, and this is why I appreciate being honest with everybody of like what I don't know, which is mostly everything about these countries. Like I've right. just followed the Premier League. One of our listeners, Grant, says 2009 U.S. men were capable of beating Spain. This team is capable of beating anyone in the cup, which is a good perspective to have, I think, because we put the poll question up. Do you believe the ceiling for them is the final? And a lot of people are saying no so far, but you're free to vote wherever you want. I got one counter to you.
Okay, what's the counter?
And I ask this from a stupid, uneducated perspective. Sprinting? Are we an underdog in sprinting? Or did we... I forget what we did in 24.
I couldn't tell you either. We obviously weren't beating Usain Bolt there for a while.
There was a minute there where we were not beating that team.
But I also feel like saying, again, that's like, that but to me is the hockey so comp. It's not like we're an underdog.
Yeah, we might
not be the favorite, but an American being a good sprinter is not like, wait, where did that come from? We've dominated that sport for a long time.
So then I think it's soccer, though.
I think this is the only one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And maybe there's a listener that would chime in on something else. Like, I don't go too off the beaten path on me.
Yeah, Noah Lyles won.
Noah Lyles did,
yeah. Noah Lyles.
That's touché. Right. The whole world the championship thing of you're not the world champion, I'm the world champion. Remember he picked a fight with everybody?
Yeah. But there was a minute there where we weren't.
Yeah, don't give me like the cross-country skiing and shooting thing that the Norwegians or Scandinavian. Like, that doesn't count.
I think you're right. I think it is men's soccer.
Yeah, there's nothing else to stick
because
out of my
we've
mind.
Reigned supreme in others. Even if we've taken a backseat momentarily, we've come back to the forefront.
Yep,
to the track point. I think it's U.S. men's soccer.
I didn't know how I was going to react to all this. Once the soccer actually began, I was excited for it. Of like, hey, it's kind of fun. The atmospheres look solid.
Dude, I was watching Tunisia and Japan.
It's like every
on
day,
Friday
dude.
Night.
I'm watching it every day. Every day I'm getting home, like, okay, they're playing right now. All right, might as well have it on in the background. Nothing else on. NBA Finals are done filling my holes, so soccer might as well
I think
do
the
it.
Best thing is also not having an understanding of how to gauge. Like, is Belgium supposed to dominate
totally blind
Iran, or
game.
Is a 0-0 right. full-time draw?
Right.
Is that, like, shocking?
Portugal and Cape Verde is one that I know was a shocking outcome. Anything else than that, I'm like, that seems like a maybe.
You mean Uruguay?
Uruguay. Well, they tied Uruguay,
too. They tied Uruguay.
But wasn't the first one against... the Ronaldo game, or was it Spain? Or they drew
no,
with somebody.
Spain.
Spain, thank you.
Because
okay.
you live bet Cape Verde
live
to win.
We're like, eh,
but if you would have taken them to draw,
would have been a nice little payout.
Would have been a nice payout.
Well, I got soccer fever. You got soccer fever. Do we agree with Country Roads, Take Me Home? John Denver is the American song after a win.
I'll put up Living on a Prayer, a Country Roads.
Certainly sounded great up in Seattle. Jealous. Our buddy Tyson Aldridge was up there. I saw he was doing some stuff. So
yeah.
A lot of people went up for the match, and man, it deliver. Great atmosphere up in Seattle on Friday, 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. We got our ears to the ground on any more NBA chatter that comes out. Let's dive into a couple of football nuggies. That's next, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in.
Ready, five, fat hot.
We'll get to some football stuff in a moment. Other underdog options getting thrown out there.
Yes.
Rugby.
Okay. I couldn't tell you who is New Zealand the best?
I don't know, but I also concur because I don't know that we're any good.
Didn't. Okay, hold on. Did the women's rugby team like make headlines?
I don't know. The last time I saw something, anything rugby related, was Matt Damon was South African.
Oh. Okay.
Well. That's the last time.
Okay.
Morgan Freeman was great in that movie, though. Good. What was that? Invincible? What was the name of that movie? Invictus.
The U.S. women's rugby made history at the Paris Olympics by winning their first ever Olympic medal.
So now we dominate rugby.
They
what about
secured
the men?
The bronze medal.
Are we any good in men's rugby?
That's a good question. Let me delete the woe.
Because soccer is a level of that, right? Like, we've been the best in the world, it feels like, at soccer for a long time, have we not? On the women's side of things, not on the men's side of things. So that's the catch-22 there.
It says, with seven at the U.S. 2016 Rio Games, U.S. was the reigning Olympic rugby champion.
Oh.
They won gold in the 20s.
In the 20s, okay. And cricket also got chimed in. We saw some of that. Cricket, which...
Look, these are very fair. I think you and I are kind of saying the same thing, right? There's tiers to the sports here.
Right.
And track and field is different because it's such a huge... These are all huge events in the Olympics. And not to say that rugby isn't.
No.
Or cricket is not obviously one of the more popular sports in the world.
Right. We're not going Chamolet here and making fun of ballet. Every sport's fine.
Right. Like, how are we in bobsled? Right. Are we good? I tend to think we're not, but I also got track and field wrong, so maybe I'm on a heater. But I think soccer is the one of, like, I don't know, the seven... most popular sports in the world.
Yes.
I guess, I don't know where cricket line. You know what I mean, though.
I see what you're saying.
I'm already here on the other side of my own argument.
I see what you're saying.
I think U.S. men's soccer is it, given the women have won the whole enchilada.
A point, too, on the YouTube chat, I saw an article that basically summed up, the World Cup doesn't need the United States, but the United States needed the World Cup.
I agree.
Something
with that.
We can collectively rally behind in some divisive times. And I think that's a great point. And I think that's been... It's been one of the biggest, like, we're debating pools and algae right now and yelling at each other about that.
Yeah.
As it's been a really nice distraction and a really nice kind of unifying moment and everybody coming together and watching it. The scene was great on Friday.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to watch the next game and see how far they go. This is far and away. And I don't know if it's just a time difference thing. I don't know if it's just because we're hosting. I'm not sure. Maybe it's the time slot that we're in being done early, and you kind of got nothing to do the rest of the day. You're just sitting around, and there's games on in the middle of the afternoon. In the last 2.5 weeks, I've watched more soccer than I probably have watched in my entire lifetime. Sitting around. We got done Friday. I can't remember who was even playing on Friday. And I'm sitting down. Kid went to bed. Wife was already in bed. And I'm just laying on the couch watching two countries.
Friday was Tunisia, Japan was the last game.
I think that was it. Yeah, I was watching Tunisia, Japan.
Pretty sure it was. And Japan won 2-0.
They did. And I'm just like, well, all right, just keep it on. Might as well.
World Cup after dark.
Yes, yeah, what it is, man. It's like Pac-12 after dark again. It's just
no. It actually. It's been a lot of fun. God, if my thing would stop autoplaying. The last game actually was. Maybe Paraguay?
Might have been Paraguay.
Yeah, I think Saturday was maybe the Saturday.
Yes,
game.
And I also watched that game Saturday night because I was sitting around Saturday night doing the same exact thing.
No, Tunisia. That's right. Tunisia Japan was late Saturday. They put it on their score bug on ESPN on Sunday.
Yeah, they do the thing where it follows over the next.
They won
day.
4-0. My apologies.
Hey, you know what? We're all learning as we go together. It's been fun to watch, and I certainly have soccer fever.
I'll ask the swag question.
Yeah,
and we laughed at him the last time, and like he since then, I've actually gotten into the Premier. Like, is there any element of this that gets you interested, or you just say no?
No,
this is it.
No, I also think the soccer people who. And again, this is going to sound disrespectful because I'm super involved in it and I'm watching. I'm a prime example of this, of like people want to use the television ratings of this and act as if it's a metric of where the popularity of soccer is at. And I think it's just really misplaced.
No. I wouldn't.
It's a national sport. It's a national pride. It's in our country. Like it's an apples to oranges if there's ever been a comparison. But the ratings numbers are going to be huge for this. But will it get me to watch more Premier League soccer? Probably not, dude.
Yeah.
They're playing in the middle of football season. The game starts at 5:00 in the morning. I'm not sitting here acting like I'm thrilled and enthralled with every second of action. It's just mainly like it's kind of fun. World Cup's here, and I'm just getting involved in the event.
Yeah,
probably not going to lead to higher viewership. Although I will say, I had this same question, and we asked this same question about a sport that I love very often. We ask this question about hockey all the time. Hockey has moments. Last year it was the Four Nations. It's like, this is great. They're fighting. This is cool. America, Canada, 51st state. Will it translate, right? We had the gold medal win, USA over Canada in overtime. Great moment, millions and millions of people watching. You know what the Stanley Cup final got? Highest ratings it's had in maybe forever. Yeah. So there, it wasn't like
it's a
matching.
Different though.
I know it's not matching NBA levels. Like it's still like you're. There's a Grand Canyon in between those two things. But you did see a spike from two small markets in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah.
That maybe you'll see some of that where the little Premier League ratings tick up just a hair because people are watching, or the MLS ratings tick up a hair.
No, I actually think it's more you than it is me. Like I've gotten into the Premier League because I adopted a team, and I certainly understand people that don't want to because it's football season, and then it gets into spring, and then it's basketball. Like it is a long journey.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think it's going to happen. The reason you saw those others work the way they did was, what's Canada's national sport? Okay. What league are they largely involved in, their best teams?
Right.
Okay. Same with us. We unfortunately, we just don't have that. The MLS is AA soccer.
Right.
At best. So,
and you're watching the quality of an event like this to a quality of the event.
Yeah.
I've
said this before. I don't mean this as a shot. I'm just telling you how I feel as a sports fan. Having watched Premier League for the whole season, watching Nottingham Forest and the rest of the Premier League, I watched the first three Timbers matches this year, and I was like texting Patrick, this is hard to watch.
Yeah, based on the high level of play.
Based on what
get
I saw from the Premier League and the way it looked versus how they play in the MLS, it was like, damn, dude. Now, I still enjoy being at Providence. Obviously, we still support the Timbers greatly, but just as a viewer, as a fan, watching one versus the other, it was quite a drop-off.
It's a little bit of a difference there. I think it's a fair point. We'll see. Maybe it ends up getting a boost. If I'm a soccer fan, I'm just happy that people are following this and be as big a tent as you can be, right? Let's get everybody involved in this. And if it leads to a 0.8% increase in ratings of your matches in other leagues, that's great.
Yep.
And it's wonderful for your sport in the long run. Take whatever you can get out of it.
Yeah.
Let's get to a couple of NFL nuggies. Sauce Gardner does not know how old he is, or we don't know how old he is.
This was a weird-ass random story.
Came out of nowhere. So he obviously is with the Colts now, and he was doing a back-and-forth with a reporter about his role as a veteran leader. And he retorted to the reporter, by the way, I'm 24.
Yeah, he was talking. He just goes, by the way, I'm 24, like, not 25.
Can you not act like I'm some old, grizzled vet here? He is listed by many outlets as being 25 years old, born on August 31st of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go to ESPN, if you go to Pro Football Focus, if you go to Yahoo Sports, that number, August 31st, 2000, is his birthday on all of those websites. But it turns out, according to him, and now listed on the Colts' actual website, he was born August 31st, 2001. How this has been
misconstrued? How did you have that like wrong the entire time?
He's saying, I'm not 25 years old. I'm 24 years old.
And do now, Colts fans feel better about this now?
Oh, now he's a year younger?
Hurt. When he got traded, he ended up getting hurt and missing the rest of the season.
It was a very, that's a big risk trade, right? They give up two first-round picks for him, I'm not mistaken?
Yep.
So that's a roll of the dice for a really good young player. And now ESPN, by the way, has changed their profile of him. So everybody saw this and then immediately went and changed it. He only played after getting traded, 4 games for Indy before getting hurt. 7 on the year for the Jets, 4 for Indy, 11 on the season, and he got banged up. So maybe you feel better about it because he's 24?
I just 24? Don't know.
It's like a Dominican baseball player. Like,
that's
know
one
this
thing.
Guy
he's
is?
Come from
like,
another country with a birth certificate that you can question. It's another to be like, Sauce Gardner's actually a year younger than they said. It's not the biggest of deal. It's just kind of a funny story. Like, what?
Very funny. One other note out of the NFL. Do you want to touch on the Geno Smith thing yesterday?
The video is very uncomfortable.
Mm.
It seems obviously pretty toxic in his household.
I'd say so.
As people noted, seemed to be a gun in one of the sinks in the garage.
There's a gun out there somewhere. It's not going
to
end well.
And she's screaming. And I don't know what to make of these. It looks
tough.
Awful. It looks terrible. It sounds terrible. My wife was like, why are you listening to a domestic disturbance? I go, it's a starting NFL quarterback. I'm just watching the video.
That's the new starting quarterback at your New York Jets.
For those
who have not
awful.
Seen the video, it's his, I don't know what the, is it a girlfriend, fiance, baby mama? I don't know exactly.
I'm just reading what I'm seeing, and if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. It sounds like it's the mother of one of his children.
Yes.
Who's claiming that they have a special needs child,
that he wants nothing
to do with the kid.
He doesn't want to watch him because he likes watching porn and TV or playing video games, I think is what she said in the video.
The video is uncomfortable. She's running away screaming. You think he's right on her heels. She turns around. He's at his car. He's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
And she walks back to the car, and then guess what? More yelling and some pushing happens, and It's awful. I thought the bigger news was Simmons getting the extension with the Titans.
That was the other one. He just agreed to a 3-year, $100 million extension. I believe $105.8 million in total money, $100 million total guaranteed. And he has been one of the best defensive linemen in, you know, the NFL for the last handful of years.
Yeah.
Seemed like a no-brainer to get this deal done. He had a career-high 11 sacks last year. And so the Titans, like...
Titans are...
It's funny, dude.
You like, got Joan on my Titan bandwagon.
Look, you know, I wasn't the biggest Cam Ward guy coming out.
I still got it.
And you still got your Cam Ward stock. Yeah. I have not bought stock yet.
Okay.
I have not sold my anti-Cam stock yet. But
really,
if we learn anything in the NFL is that surprises come in random shapes and sizes. And last year it was New England, who had the early draft pick, rookie quarterback, didn't go great, new head coach. Boom, look at that. We're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying that for Tennessee. I'm just saying teams surprise a lot in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Tennessee seems to have gotten a competent head coach. I liked their move out offensive coordinator, lock up a defensive fixture in Simmons. They do become a team, especially in that division. I don't really know what to make of the Texans in the Stroud situation right now. Is Danny Dimes going to be – is he good? Is Danny Dimes good? How do we – is Jacksonville going to do it again this year, right? So the division seems somewhat open for them, and this was a no-brainer deal to get that deal done.
Yeah, I think the thing for me was I know Rob Saleh can coach. I've watched him have multiple runs as a D coordinator. I think his Jets run got absolutely screwed with the Rodgers stuff. Became a circus full of injury. And I like Daboll as a hire. And if Daboll wants to be head coach, guess what he's got to do? Same as McDaniel. If they go out there as competent, really good OCs that elevate the team's offense, they're going to get calls and offers again. So, you know, we'll see. On paper, it's not perfect, but I at least like some of what they did. And Simmons thing is just, that's just good business. Smart business,
dude.
Lock him up.
Get
he's one of the best DTs in football. Like,
yes.
It's a no-brain move.
Don't do the Jerry Jones, let's let this one bleed out for 2 years and then give him a franchise tag and then we're trading him for it. Like, what are we doing?
Cost ourselves more money?
Hell of a player right there.
180!
Feels good every time. We still got our eyes on the NBA trade market. We'll let you know if anything happens throughout the course of the rest of the show. The NBA draft is tomorrow. We got to dive into that.
Yes.
But a social media conundrum next, 105.1.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo. The bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
FM The Fan. Let's dive back into the NBA in the final hour of the show. The draft is tomorrow night.
I have a bet.
We're just going to be sitting on the sidelines watching. Kind of the theme of our lives as Blazer fans.
Yeah.
But
I'm excited for it, though.
I'm intrigued, dude. I am. I should get home probably right around the time. We'll be out at Langdon for the Fan Golf Classic tomorrow. We obviously got to go to bed at like 7:30. So we get out of there a little bit quicker than some of the other folks. And so I'm excited to get home, watch, see how it all shakes out. Who's going to go number one? Will it be DeBonta? Do we get a surprise pick? We'll dive into that in the final hour. Also, the latest on all of the NBA chatter and noise that has happened so far this morning. But you asked a question. I chuckle about this every time there's a holiday where there's that guilt feeling occasionally on social media, even though you've wished your significant other a happy whatever the day might be, like in person, that should carry more weight than anything else. You bought them a gift, whether it's a birthday, whether it's a Father's Day, a Mother's Day, whatever the case. But then there's that thought of like, well, I didn't post anything. That's a modern technology problem where it's like, why do I even care about that? But I know it is a thing for people on holidays. But you threw out the question of if you have, if the parent of your child, the father or the mother, is no longer married to you, it's an ex, do you acknowledge them on social media on Mother's Day or Father's Day? And we did have, now I'm going to have to scroll back a long ways to find it, but there was it when you asked that question, they sent in something that basically said,
yeah,
I'm no longer with my ex-wife, we got divorced, and she gave me a happy Father's Day post yesterday. Okay. So we have somebody texting and saying that they happened to them yesterday. I got an IG post from my ex. I'm the OG daddy.
All right, I got to admit, I'm going a little Lucy Burge on you with this one.
Okay.
This is what motivated it.
Yeah.
Gisele Bündchen, formerly Gisele Brady.
Yes.
Or Tom Bündchen, just depending on the perspective of that relationship.
Tom Bündchen.
What if he would have taken her name?
Would have been a great name.
She's richer than him.
She is.
She posted an Instagram post for Father's Day. And she tagged the new guy who she just had a baby with.
This makes it even worse.
It says, thank you for leading by example and for the values you embody, love, humility, integrity, discipline, kindness, and consistency. You are an incredible role model. We are all so grateful for you, and we love you so much. And Dad, thank you for unconditional love, wisdom, and support through every stage of my life. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And then same post translated in another language.
Right. No happy Father's Day to
people noted,
old Toms.
No Tom Brady in it. And so it leads many to then get into the debate of do you shout out the ex?
The actual now, father of your older children who has had to father.
Like, by the way, the child her and Tom had, the boy.
Yeah.
There's a photo of that boy standing back to back with this new guy. Which, that's the other part of this that has to, like, sting the nostrils a little bit.
That's a no-no.
There's a photo with...
That's a no-no. I'm sorry. You can't do that.
Well, she did.
Also, let's not... How old is the baby?
It looks like less than two. There's a group photo of all the kids.
I mean...
The Bradys and the Bündchens.
I will also...
But with the new guy and no Tom.
Sure. I will also say this as a father of a two and a half. I don't know how old he is now. Somewhere in there. Over the halfway mark of two going on three. We'll just ballpark it.
I don't know how old my child is. He's been alive for 2 years.
He's somewhere in between two
lost
and three.
Track?
This idea of, like, thank you for being a great role model for our child who is, like, 16 months old.
Well, she has other kids, though.
But that's not...
They've been together for, I think, 2 years.
They don't
now.
Need another... They have a dad.
But that's a stepdad. Did you have a stepdad?
I did not have a stepdad.
All I had at one moment was a stepdad.
But that's different because you didn't know your dad.
Yeah, but yeah, true.
If your dad was around for the first 15 years of your life and then your parents got divorced and now there's a new dad in town and you're basically already an adult,
right?
That's completely different.
Yeah, you're not wrong to point it out,
different.
But there's a lot of step-parents that are super involved who also, by the way, still have a mom or dad. Right?
Yeah, I just if the idea of being like a role model is for the baby, I just chuckle at that idea. Like you're changing diapers.
I think
diapers,
it was for all of the kids involved. I think these kids are around Gisele enough for her to say,
let's also,
this dude is also a good influence on them. Paired.
Let's also be honest
with Tom
here.
Brady.
We know who's raising those kids. Who's raising those kids? The nanny.
Well,
let's be honest here. Okay, spade a spade.
I don't know that.
Yes, we do. Nannies raise rich people's kids.
Wasn't Giselle's whole thing with Tom that he wasn't being present because she was super present?
No.
I'm not saying she doesn't have a nanny.
I think she's more present than Tom, but that's also talking about somebody who was never present.
So I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
You get into, because look, divorce can be two things. It can be
amicable or very not
yeah,
amicable.
An agreed upon, this is over, it's run its course,
yes.
Or
we need to go our separate way.
Oh my.
I hate everything
I
about
hate you.
You.
World War III.
Yes.
If you end up in a World War III divorce, are you posting thank you or happy Mother's Day to your current wife as your ex?
No.
You're not posting.
I don't post. She's already the mother of my child, and we're still married. I didn't post for her yesterday.
Okay, I guess that's true. You're not really much of a poster.
I'm not a social media guy.
I don't even know when the last time you posted was.
Only I did this weekend. I did Saturday. We
Teddy
had
ball
day.
Game, draining putts.
He was drained a putt.
I showed my wife. I go, he is determined to have this kid be a pro golfer. And I go, watch this. And he drains the putt. She goes, wow.
He came and played golf with me yesterday, too, last four holes of the day.
So all I'm saying is, like, I find that interesting in itself of, choosing to post your ex
versus
not
pitch.
Acknowledging their existence whatsoever.
You did this as a slap in the face, knowing the message that it would send. This was 100% targeted at Tom Brady.
But why are you still targeting Tom Brady?
Because I'm guessing their divorce is World War III.
Really?
Yes. That is the look on the outside. That was not a friendly divorce. And they hate each other's guts.
There's a little bit of that.
What does the guy do?
He's a jiu-jitsu or jiu-jitsu taekwondo guy. Yeah, it was her instructor.
She already had four kids, right? How many kids do they have together?
Two.
They only had two? I thought they had more than that.
No, maybe I'm wrong. They had a daughter and a son, and then he had a son with the actress.
You already got two kids?
Yeah.
What do we need another kid for?
I mean, people like to have three kids.
No, she only did that to get back at
Tom. She did have him have the kid super late in her life.
Yes, she's like in her, how old is she?
I think she's in her mid-40s.
Yeah.
I think she had it like 45.
I get the idea of like, hey, we never had a kid. I'd like to have one.
It'd be really funny to find a couple that
she's 45 years old.
Yeah, and the kid's like a year or two.
Give up, Giselle.
It would be, what do you mean? What does that even mean?
You got two kids. You don't need another one.
She already has the kid.
We got too many people on this planet. Stop being selfish.
Actually, we don't.
Stop soaking up resources, okay?
You are utterly ridiculous. What I would say is I would love to see the posts of people that you know hate each other from divorce, but still post, hey.
Still do it.
Happy Mother's Day. Yeah. You earned that. You pushed that child.
I'm trying to think of people I know who are divorced and to think of if they did. I wasn't on social media very much yesterday. So
I can tell you, I have people that are divorced in my life. They're not posting
None
happy.
None of them gave the happy to the other.
I didn't see any of it. I saw a lot of selfies. I would say I saw more selfies.
Happy Father's Day to me.
I'm the father. Me and the kids. Don't need no wife.
Yeah, dude, that's a weird, like, that's weird.
Think it's weird?
I think it's very weird to not.
To not include
to
Tom?
To acknowledge somebody who is, how long have they been together now? How long are we talking? 2 years? 3 years?
Sure.
Right? You're married for 20 years to Tom Brady.
What was his last year in Tampa? I would say that's when that started. Because remember, she at that point was
true. It went pretty quick. It was like divorced to like, she's pregnant by a jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah.
It was like 6 months later.
Well, I mean, Tom clearly was like, I'd rather play football than be with you.
I would not like to have another kid, please. I'm trying to play till I'm 74 years
old. Who's winning that divorce, by the way?
That's a good question.
We love to give out who wins the divorce.
Yeah.
If we played that game, who would you say is winning the divorce?
I still go Tom. But he's also more in my bubble. Is Giselle like still modeling? What's she doing? Does she do anything?
I think she's being a present mother.
Other than just being rich?
A no-nanny present mother.
Dude, the chances of them not having a nanny...
I didn't say them.
...are impossible.
Tom definitely
like,
is
you think
nanny.
Kim Kardashian's doing everything with her kids?
No, that's different. Got $1 billion enterprise we're building.
Giselle's got a little bit of money.
Skims ain't selling if mommy's away.
I'm at home changing diapers. I'm not going to film my reality show anymore. Like, yeah, that's a real world you live in. Get out of here.
It's our last season, promise.
That's it. Somebody said it's on the kids to wish Tom a happy Father's Day, not the ex-wife. Like, there's some validity to that, and I'm sure they did.
The ex thing is really just dependent on how ugly it got.
Yes.
If it's super ugly, I never want to see... I don't never want to see. I will expect to never see. Right. If it's okay, that's where I think you usually get the...
Right.
Like Nicole Kidman posted one with Keith Urban. They're divorced. But she said, Happy Father's Day, a picture of her dad. And then the next photo was a picture of Keith Urban with a kid.
Right.
I didn't even know they had a kid.
Yeah, this isn't like... And I don't want people to think this is like a stepdad rant I'm going on. That has nothing to do with it. Every situation is different. Like, there's a lot of stepdads who genuinely raise their kids. The father's not around and you fill that void and become the actual dad. This one's unique, dude. Tom Brady was the dad for the bulk of the childhood of the kids.
Well,
and
still is.
And still is. He's still their dad.
He posts about them all the time.
You come out of nowhere and you're just... it's different. That's different for me. But... teach their own. I would not do that.
Look at you. You're pro Tom Brady. Big Brady guy.
I never
over there.
Thought I'd be pro Tom Brady. In a
I got
segment,
you there.
And you somehow pivoted me into a quarterback.
Brandon,
Tom Brady.
Are you posting Happy Mother's Day if you get divorced?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But I also, if I had a new one, I don't know if I'd do the spite post. I don't think I would do a spite post. Like, if I got divorced and then remarried and putting a picture of like Teddy Ballgame and my new wife
but
up.
But you don't post.
For Happy Mother's
Day. That's
the problem.
True. You don't post.
That's true.
God bless the beaver.
Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. The NBA draft is tomorrow. We'll dive into that. Free agency right around the corner. The latest on the Giannis Antetokounmpo watch as we all continue to be on it. And the big news of the day, we'll revisit Dusty May becoming the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Loaded final hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.